Yeah, unleash your intuition. I feel like we're going to get sued by Natasha Bedingfield for my voice being so good and for changing her lyrics.
I think Natasha Bedingfield is not worried about us. It's just my intuition.
Maybe she listens to the pod.
Maybe. Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
We have another listener question episode. Bean, are you ready?
Fun. I'm ready.
What's up, Bean? I see that you're enjoying a very delicious smoothie over there.
I am, and it just kind of dribbled out of my mouth like I was vomiting, and you got very...
You're really consuming it with your whole heart and soul.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why now.
Go.
Even though it looks that way, it's that I'm actually have to work really hard because there's a hole in the straw somewhere. You know,
oh, that's the worst.
And you have
to replace the straw.
So hard.
No,
but I don't want to go downstairs right now.
We have a drawer full of metal straws because I refuse. And also in California, they only give you paper straws now, or at least where I live.
But God bless.
Because we're coastal. Totally. We're trying to save the turtles out here. But I can't do it. I can't do a paper straw. It like folds in on itself after two sips.
I'm not going to lie. Every time I get the paper straw, I'm like, yes to this company for caring so much about the environment. And then I take a sip and it like melts in my mouth. And I'm like, God damn it. But we need an alternative. They have been using like those recycled plastic ones. Have
plastic.
You seen those?
Yep.
They look like they're dirty, but they're great.
But they're
work nice.
I'll take them. Nice. But if you have a hole in your straw, you need to respect yourself enough not to be making that fish face to try and get to the smoothie and go invest. Love yourself enough to invest in a metal straw, Bean. That's my advice for you today.
I have reusable straws, but they're plastic.
Great.
Is that bad?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's bad?
You're canceled.
Oh, no. Why?
Plastic.
Metal tastes a little – yeah, but they're reusable. Metal tastes a little metal-y to me. Metallic, some might say. Some might say metal-y. Some might say metallic.
I think metal-y is better. What's going on? Anything cringy or delightful? Look at you. Your shirt says rock on.
Gold dust woman. I wore this when we went to Stevie Nicks.
I know.
In Nashville.
She's
this
wearing
the shirt
her
I wore that
dust
night.
Woman tank. That's my delight.
That was good. Well, my delight is actually prior to hopping on this app, we had a very wonderful dance party and it was very enjoyable. And it was based on because Maury has this amazing workbook. Everyone go check it out. It's called Unleash Your Intuition. And she does these private workshops. And every time I see it in the calendar or we discuss the workbook, I think to myself that song, wait, but we didn't even figure out who
Release
sings it.
Release
your inhibitions. Feel the rain on your skin.
No one else can.
Who is that? Do you know who sings it?
Yeah, it's – come on. No. Come on, Bean.
Is it Katy Perry?
Yes.
No.
It is? It's not.
No, it's no. It's one of those like female folky ones.
I'm going to tell you right now that it is Natasha Bedingfield.
Yes. So anytime I see that like as a block in our calendar, Unleash Your Intuition, in my head I sing, Unleash Your Intuition.
Release your in. Oh, I
know.
See.
But in my head, I sing it to that tune. Oh. And because we were talking about your workbook and how popular it's getting and how everyone should go check it out, I then admitted to her that I think that every time we talk about it. And then we started dancing.
And we had a good dance party. And I'm going to have to fact check you. The workbooks are called Craving Change or Unblocked, but the online course is called Unleash Your Intuition.
No,
it's totally fine. I just didn't want anyone to be confused.
Don't be confused.
Please don't be confused, but please head over to MauryFontanez.com. They are free. So if you'd like to download some workbooks and work on yourself at the end of summer.
Workbooks.
They're there for you.
And if you'd like to join your coaching sessions, Unleash Your Intuition. I feel like we're going to get sued by Natasha Bedingfield for my voice being so good and for changing her lyrics.
I think Natasha Bedingfield is not worried about us. It's just my intuition.
Maybe she listens to the pod.
Maybe.
Anyway, anything from you?
You know, my delight right now is Santa Barbara in the summer is so magnificent.
Past the June gloom.
We're way past the June gloom. It is like the idyllic, like California coastal town. People are rollerblading and riding their bikes down the like sidewalk. The ocean is sparkling, the palm trees are palming, the dolphins are jumping, everyone's vibing. I really, it like has a buzz to it. You know what it reminds me of? Like when I grew up in Colorado.
Yeah,
in Colorado, like visualizing, and then later in Maryland, watching Beverly Hills 90210, or much younger, watching Three's Company that was based in Santa Monica. Like you idealized California as being this like super sunny, beachy town. Mm-hmm. And then you go to LA and you're like, what? Because LA is just a sprawling suburb. Sorry, LA. That isn't like all of it's not coastal, right? But Santa Barbara is coastal. So in the summer, it's really doing it for me right now. Yeah.
Really beautiful.
So come on down, guys. Come visit us. Bean, we got a little grab bag episode today.
Yeah, we do. How do we want to roll this? We forgot to talk about it. How about I just ask the questions?
Like that's usually how we do it.
Okay.
We got some listener questions, but a reminder for you listeners. We have a form in our show notes where you can submit listener questions like people have done with the four we're going to answer today. And they can be questions for me or Melissa. Usually the questions for me are anything you'd want to ask an intuitive life or leadership coach, or anything for either of us on any episode we've made, or anything about our lives or whatever you want to hear about. We try to do a listener question episode once a month or once every 6 weeks. So, you know, hit us with the questions, guys. And also, while I'm making the ask, I'm always the one shilling for, you know, I just really want you to
do
know.
It. All right, I'll do it.
You do the ask.
If you could think of, you said, I think you asked for two last time. I'm going to say three. Is that being too aggressive?
You're being aggressive now.
Okay, fine. Let's back it off. Let's go back down to two. If you could think of two people, if you could think of one person you really like, who's the first person that popped in your head? Say it out loud right now.
Raina.
Oh, she already listens. I'm talking about the listener. Send our pod to them, please. Please. And then when we get these listener questions, it feels so good inside. And that's how it would feel when you share it with another party. Agreed. Turn them on to Signal.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. We love you and appreciate you, OBs, our original beans.
I feel like you do it better than I ask.
No, you did it great. I was compelled to share this episode with Raina, which I will do.
It felt desperate when I did it. I was like, no.
That's what I mean. It does. When you're like begging someone to do something, it just naturally feels that way. But I believe in our listeners and I think that they love us like we love them, and they're not going to take it that way. They're going to be like, sure, no problem.
Right.
Happy
I want
help.
You to love us so much that you want to share it with someone else. Truthfully. They do. You have to hear this because I love it.
Correct.
Like if I listened to this podcast, I would tell you, hey, Bean, you have to listen to this podcast. You'll love it.
You would. Anyways, all right, well, what questions do we have? You know what? Let me say what I like about the question episodes. I just want to say.
This is like a crazy end of summer. We don't know what the fuck is going on episode, right? We're like, what day is it? I don't even know.
We're just trying to have summer vacation at this point. Our birthdays are coming up. We're aging.
Leave us alone, man.
I was just going to say, the thing I love about these listener question episodes is like they're tiny, very, what do you call them? Tangible takeaway tool filled.
TTTs.
Episode. Yeah, they're TTT totally. Filled episodes because they're just very specific questions with very like specific advice and answers.
And so I also think it gives us like a tiny bit of insight into our listeners, which is really fun because when you're doing this, you literally are like, I have no idea what's happening or who's listening to this. Yeah. So when you hear this, you're like, oh, I get what you're like. Now I know who's listening. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Should we get on with it? What questions do we have in there, Bean?
Yes, we shall. The first question is good one. How do I model being intuitive or connected to my higher self around people I love who are cynical? I can totally relate to this.
Oh, my God.
I bet you have like a million relief.
This was the beginning of our journey.
Me and you?
For sure.
Oh, yeah. I was like, nope. Okay.
Yeah.
Has she lost her mind? Okay.
Yeah. Such a good question. Look, I think that first of all, acknowledging that there is a part of you in this question that really wants their validation.
Oh, yeah.
Like you wouldn't be asking this question if you weren't seeking their okay or their approval. Or for me, what it always was is like really taking your insight seriously. Yeah. Like for me, it was always like, no, value the thing I'm saying because it's coming from a deeply intuitive place. Don't write it off. So acknowledge the part of yourself right now that has a need or a longing to be seen and valued as being intuitive, that's not being met in this relationship with the cynical person. I'm not saying you have to decide anything about the cynical person. I'm just saying that it's good for you to know you're asking this because that need is being unmet right now. And you're looking for that validation. The other thing is that sometimes when we feel like we're dealing with someone who's really cynical and we are on this journey of self-discovery and enlightenment, which makes us more connected to our intuition, we will not share as much. Yeah. We will stay quiet. We won't speak up and say like, hey, this is what I'm sensing or this is what I'm getting or I had this dream last night that you should pay attention to, because we know we're going to get met by cynicism. And like being shut down and rejected is just not a positive experience. Yeah. So it's really normal to shut that part of you even off. And I just have to tell you, even though that is what is tempting, do the opposite. Do the exact opposite. Just keep talking about it. Don't stop sharing your intuition and your knowing. Don't stop acting on your intuitive knowing just because other people are cynical. Keep being loud and open about it, because what happens is eventually there is evidence for the things you're saying. Right. And then you can see that evidence and others around you can begin to see, oh, it's so funny. Melissa said a couple of weeks ago when I told her about this friend, like, I don't have a good feeling about their intentions, right? And then, oh, wow, the evidence showed up. So sometimes your intuition or your intuitive knowing will plant a seed that won't really blossom for months, if not years. Just be patient. You don't need the instant gratification. That's not what intuition is about. And it's okay if they're cynical. When you know something, then what you also know is that it is true and right and accurate, and that will be validated and shown over time. So go forth with that energy of like, I know for a fact this is going to be validated at some point in time, so I'm going to say it, and I'm not going to stay quiet because I'm worried that I'm going to be met with cynicism. Cynicism is a protection strategy against hope.
I don't know how I feel about that last statement, but I liked everything prior to it. And I was thinking,
push me on it. Why is it not?
I think cynicism is just a perspective. I don't think it's necessarily, and even when I would be like cynical, it wasn't like, I don't know. I didn't feel like it was against hope. That wasn't my intention. My intention was more.
What's the intention?
I mean, more sharing my point of view. It wasn't always cynicism. Sometimes it would be like, I don't agree with what you're saying, or I feel like
I didn't say disagreement is a protection strategy against hope. I said cynicism. What does cynicism mean? What's the definition of it?
I don't know.
I couldn't look it up.
Okay, you want me to do it right now? An inclination to believe that people are motivated purely by self-interest. Oh, skepticism.
And what does skepticism mean?
A skeptical attitude. I hate when they do that. Doubt as to the truth of something. That's what I think of cynicism. I don't like that. That motivated purely by self-interest. I don't like that definition.
So you heard me saying skepticism is a protection strategy against hope. That's not what I said. Cynicism, this idea that this person is saying something, so therefore I have to doubt them, is your mind's way of saying, shut this out.
Right.
Let's protect ourselves by shutting this out. And let's not be open to the little bit of hope it might be creating inside of me. Let me be clear. I'm talking about when someone is speaking about things in terms of intuitive wisdom, in terms of like consciousness, in terms of soul care, things that are feeling really aligned to self and to truth and to positivity and growth and connection. Right. When someone is sharing those kinds of messages and we're cynical, there's a part of it that's like, of us that's like, don't let that in. Because if you let that in, then it's going to scramble the whole system that's telling me not to believe in it, because I'll be safer and I won't be disappointed. I don't mean cynicism and like, you know, Trump sharing fake news all the time.
Fake news.
Let's be super cynical about that.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, because I want to make sure I clarify
and
that.
I was saying it particularly because you have mentioned several times, and I still continue to be this way in certain ways, that I am cynical. But I don't think I come from a place of like, I don't want the hope. Maybe it's a subconscious protective mechanism, though. I don't like to be disappointed.
I will just say my experience with you, if it's something I'm saying that's inspirational or hopeful, your cynicism sometimes is presenting itself to protect you from going there and then being let down.
Going to the place of hope, you mean?
Going to the place of like, if you do this, then you'll be mindful. Right. Then you're, you know, then you'll be more aligned. And my intuition is saying this, like, sometimes I think that if you feel like it's too positive, you're like, don't allow your expectations to go there. It's not safe.
I am very much like, don't allow your expectation. I don't know why I'm like that, but I don't like expectations to go too high. I feel like it's easy to be let
down.
Protection
against hope. Yeah.
Wow. You just really did some voodoo on me there. Jesus. Jesus. Anyway, great answer.
The answer to the question is speak up. Speak up and just say it.
And you know what? If it is someone, the person specifically said people I love. So hopefully if you love them and they love you to the same extent and they have the same level of care you have for them, they will have care and can make space for you and what you're feeling, even if it's not something they're aligned with.
Yeah, totally.
All right, moving along. Beautiful. Moving along. What do I do if I have a bad feeling intuitively about someone? This happens to me a lot. And someone I love is really into them. This happens to me a lot.
Oh, same.
A lot.
Same girl.
Same girl.
Yes. It is hard because let me tell you, like, and don't
romantic
follow,
partner.
Yeah, don't make the mistakes I made early on, which is to like shout it from the freaking rooftops. Oh. This isn't the person for you. Yeah. This isn't the friend for you. Oh my God, they're taking advantage. Like every part of my body was like having an alarm system go off. And I'm going to tell you, the one fight that Bean and I had was very much related to Bean having deep intuition about someone I was dating right after I got divorced and was feeling really desperate.
I wasn't even mean about it.
It wasn't. No, that's what I mean. You weren't. But like, man, was I not ready to hear it. Yeah. And like, I was pissed. Yeah. So I'm just going to tell you something right now. You really have to modulate what you're receiving intuitively with how ready the person is to receive the information.
Just like all of life.
And as an intuitive, I'll tell you that this is something I do in a session
too. Of course.
Like I will be receiving intuitive information about someone and I will really have to read into their energy. How much of this do I say and in what way do I say it? That will allow you to use this information in a helpful way in your life. Sometimes it's not going to be super direct with every single thought and feeling attached to it. Sometimes it's like 1/8 of what I've got, or it's as simple as a question. Hey, how does being with this person make you feel when you're alone one-on-one? You know, like start asking questions. If your intuition is telling you this person, I don't even see it, but I know this person's belittling to my friend behind the scenes. Ask questions. Hey, how does this person support you when you have new ideas? Ask questions that are attached to your intuitive knowing instead of saying the thing directly, because people are not ready for it. They just can't hold it.
I actually think you, to your own credit, I actually think you knew deep down I was correct, and I think it was your just defensiveness taking over because you didn't want it to be correct.
Totally.
Not everyone always
that's exactly
that,
right.
But I think you actually did deep down know that he was not right.
I think most people that have a visceral defensive reaction know that you're right.
No, deep down.
Totally.
Oh.
Yeah. So yeah, that guy was not great for me. But then I met TJ right afterwards. Aww. And I remember my sister saying, out of like a desire to protect me, are you sure you're not jumping from the frying pan into the fire? And I can tell you, because I had such a deep knowing about TJ, there was zero defensiveness. Yeah. I was so calm in response.
What'd you say?
You know, was like, I was like, I'm sure. Just wait and see. Well, what about this? What about that? You know, separation, kids, like, I just like it, there was no fight in me. It was just such clarity. There was nothing to get defensive over.
I don't even think I questioned you with TJ only because when I had questioned you,
you were scared.
Yeah, in the I was like, you know what? That's her shit. I'm going to mind my business.
But then you met TJ and you were like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that again, short answer to that is, you may be getting very strong signals from your intuition about something related to something that someone is going through or someone that they're with, that they're allowing access into their lives. And of course, it's going to make you want to protect them, but just be aware of how much information they can actually handle, because the worst thing you can do is overwhelm them with your knowing and then have them go in the opposite direction and take the longer road to hearing their own intuitive wisdom. So what you can do is cultivate their relationship to listening to their inner knowing by just being curious, really creating like a safe, non-judgmental space for them to come talk to you and encouraging them to listen in to how they genuinely feel on the inside around the person.
I can say also, when you were here for the bas mitzvah, yes, it's been months, but we're still talking about the bat mitzvah. You had an intuitive knowing about somebody. I don't think you're going to even remember saying this. It was like in passing, you said it to me and I was shocked at this whole like idea of you saying that about this person. And I was like, that's not on brand. But I just took the information and I didn't even do anything. You said it very calmly and like very like, this is just, I'm just letting you know, look out for this. And I was like, okay. And that was like it. It was like a very gentle way of saying it. And I will say I'm not directly impacted by this. So it maybe was a little easier to swallow. Do you remember what I'm talking about or no?
No, but I'm so curious.
I don't want to say it. Okay. And now though, I just like have that knowledge. So you can also just like very gently say things and not be like, you got to get out of this relationship right now. You can just gently share. That's another, in my opinion, if you feel like you're in a safe enough space to do so. And then not like encourage them to make a decision, just to say, these are my two cents. This is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That's just it.
Gently planting seedlets.
I'll text you later. You know what I mean? All right.
I know. Please.
On to, some stuff has actually already, believe it or not, come to light that leans in the direction of your.
I was just going to ask you, did you get any evidence?
I had none prior. Actually, I did.
No,
I forgot
since,
about it. Yes, I actually have sort of.
Do you think I've influenced you with implanting that idea to look for the evidence?
No, because something just happened organically on its own. And I was like, oh shit, she was right. It wasn't, and you weren't like, this is an awful. You just said, be mindful of this. And I was like, okay, whatever. That doesn't sound right, but okay. And then it just, you are an intuitive being.
Thanks, Pete. Okay. I hope as an intuitive life coach, that is one
your
of
intuition
the
is.
I love that I'm an intuitive life coach and I've written a book called Higher Self, Reclaiming the Power of Your Intuition. And my own best friend is like, whoa, so how intuitive. Did she know that, man?
It's my surfer dude under vibe. Remember that? Remember how I'm always
don't that amazing quote.
Ride the waves. Anyway, all right, moving along. Number three. I'm interested in coaching. I feel like that's a trend these days. How did you get into it? And do you have any advice for me?
I get asked this question a lot, actually. You do? Yeah. It is definitely a more accessible career path these days. And it is also really niche and nuanced. Like you can be a mindfulness coach. You can be a nutritious eating coach. You can be a performance coach. Like there are a million different kinds of coaches. And I think that if you're interested, I would do a couple things. And these are the things that I did. The first is that I really believe that if you're going to be a guide, you have to have walked the path first.
Right.
So make sure that you have authenticity and integrity in the thing that you are desiring to coach and guide around. That you have life experience where you have walked the path, you have done the hard things that you're about to tell other people to do, and you have the evidence to coach around. That is really, really important. Intellectualizing something that is not embodied does not allow you to come from a place of deep empathy and compassion and a sense of, I am walking this road with you.
Right.
Not, I am ahead of you, espousing a bunch of philosophies that I don't actually fully understand because I didn't live the experience.
Right.
So that has been really important to me and really critical if you're thinking about coaching. Make sure it's something that you have true life experience in, you have lived the highs and lows of, and that you can come to it from a place of truth, of integrity, of realness, and of being with the people. You're not trying to be an authority. You're trying to be with people.
I would actually like to coach, but I don't like feel like I have any paths that I've walked that would make me a good coach. Like I couldn't say anything. I just feel like I'd like to help people in that way.
Yeah. What do you want to, what kind of coach?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, then I think that's great. Thank you. That's the second thing. It's like, what is it specifically that is your purpose? What are you trying to help people with?
Right.
Is it career decisions? Is it a coach for young moms? Like, where is the passion exist in you?
That's good.
That's what I'm right? Gonna do. And that's where you should really focus your energy is like, what are you most passionate in solving for other people? That is what coaching is about. So for me, what I realized in doing PR and crisis management and like reputation stuff for other people
right.
was, you know what I'm most passionate about is guiding people to trust themselves. Because every time they make a mistake or they create harm or they do something negative in the world, it's coming from a deep place of lacking trust with your inner wisdom.
Right.
And that's where this idea of intuitive life coaching, intuitive leadership coaching came from. It came from a true passionate place backed by 20 years of experience.
Right.
Of watching people do the opposite and me coming in with intuitive wisdom and solving the problem. So where is your passion actually lie is really, really important. And then the third thing is that you really have to believe that you can succeed at doing the thing. Right. I said this in a coaching session with someone. And this really, I think, is a question more broadly than about coaching than it is about career change in right. general. When you're about to change the way that you make money from something that yeah. maybe you decided out of a place of scarcity, it makes more sense to be a lawyer because my dad was a lawyer and this is how I will make money to, oh my God, I'm actually a really brilliant storyteller. Right. What does that sound like?
My husband.
And right. So Corey is a really good example of like he went to law school. He was going to be a corporate lawyer, but his passion as a –
he was an animator. For 10 years.
Yeah, he's an amazing artist. He's a beautiful storyteller. Like it wasn't doing it for him. And so he had to do this massive career change. So I think this, I'm just going to broaden this to it being about career change. You know, I was just saying this to someone in a session. You have to believe that you are going to make as much, if not more money, doing the thing you're dreaming about. You have to believe that. Because if you then believe that, you begin to take actionable steps towards it. But if you exist in the reality that your life is going to shrink, that you're going to suffer, that there's going to be financial harm and ruin, then you're going to stay in a place of contraction and fear. And also, you know, I coach a lot of people who are at the top of their game in whatever they're doing,
right.
acting, directing, leading a company.
Right.
All of those people believed in the dream more than anything else. That was it. It was loving what they did and believing in the dream. So my trick with people always, and this was my trick with myself when I worked at the agency, and I was the global head of client strategy at a multinational PR firm. I was making very good salary.
Yeah.
When I decided I was going to start my own thing, the first thing I did was say, I have to believe that 822 Group, which is the name of my consultancy, and this kind of coaching is going to make the salary I'm making today. And by the way, I do.
Dang, girl.
But that
get after it.
In a rational mind was nonsense.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
My rational mind was like, what in the hell? Seriously? I mean, intuitive life and leadership coaching?
Truthfully, I'm experiencing that right now. I'm like, I love working with my best friend all the time. Like I would love this to be, but I'm constantly doubting like, how can that be? It can't be that good. You know, you can't make money right. from like just enjoying yourself all the time.
Yeah. But you have to believe in the dream.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in the dream, Ain't nobody coming to believe in that yeah. dream for you.
Yeah.
You have to believe in it. And then when you do, you do start to make, and this is the fourth piece of advice on transitioning to being a coach or any career transition, just start taking baby steps. Little tiny ideas become possible for you
right.
when you open yourself up to the concept. For me, it was working at the agency I was at, happening to do pro bono for free, a workshop where I facilitated a workshop for a nonprofit. One of the leaders of that nonprofit also worked at a major bank. And he said to me afterwards, you're really good at getting people to like say what's true and facilitate. Like, I think this major bank needs you. How would your agency feel about us as a client? And right then, because I had prepared myself and I had suspended disbelief that I couldn't make money on my own, right then the possibility came to me and I said out loud, what if it was just me? What if it wasn't this agency? And they were like, yeah, you're the one we want. That client is the reason I had the financial ability to leave and start my own thing.
You're a badass.
So if you believe it's possible, new ideas, new perceptions will present themselves and you jump on those right when they come. You're ready to jump on those ideas that are whizzing by because you've prepared yourself. There you go. When you get the chills, it's your body saying, Truth.
I want to jump on
it. Truth has just presented itself.
I'm ready to jump on it.
Go. Get it, Bean.
So wise. All right. Last question. Let's bring it home. Listener question. Number four. Thanks, listeners. I am on. Oh, is this question for you or me? I am on a journey toward really growing and investing in my mental/spiritual journey. I feel like I'm growing faster than my partner, and my partner doesn't seem that interested. What do I do?
Well, why don't you take a go for it? What do you think?
I want your input too, but I'm just going to give a real quick synopsis.
Yeah, but I want to hear your input.
I have been on this spiritual growth journey, I'd say, for like a solid 2 years now. I mean, I don't know when. I think around turning 40 and around when I had this epic foot surgery that like shifted my whole perspective in life, I started really taking a dive into all of this. And I was not met with like a ton of like, cool, because it really was kind of not exactly who I – it didn't really line up with me as a person completely.
Yeah.
Like suspending a lot of my beliefs to like just be open to more possibility. As we were mentioning, I tend to be a little more cynical, blah, blah, blah. So it was very, very unlike me. And I think that was challenging for some people to get behind, but including my husband, Corey. And I wouldn't say that he wasn't not interested. He just, I almost feel like, couldn't understand what I was doing because it was so foreign to the rest of the way he knew me. But for me personally, what I did is I just disregarded all of that. Like I disregarded everyone around me who was saying like, what, or like making funny faces when I'm like, I'm going to a psychic or I'm going to this astrologer. And everybody was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, that is so unlike you. And I was like, it's fine. I don't even know if this psychic or this healer or this, that is going to do anything for me. I'm just going in with an open mind. That's all. And I'll take from it what I get. And what I kept seeing is that I was getting stuff from every single event in whatever way it was. I don't know if it's because the psychic had abilities or because I was able to interpret something she said and apply it to my life in a meaningful way. But I was growing from each of these experiences, and I completely held on to that. And I disregarded the fact that everybody else in my life was sort of like this other than you was like, what the hell? And I kept being like, you feel it, you're growing, you know that you're growing. And then even like, I do feel like I evolved past Corey in certain ways in my spiritual growth. I can say that he is starting to catch up in a lot of ways at this point, but the path was challenging because you feel like you are now on completely different frequencies, which can be really hard in a marriage or any close relationship. But I kept, as I was like unfolding sort of, I realized that since I keep having these like mini awakenings, that ultimately, even if we're not aligned, I will be so enlightened and awakened that it won't matter. Like I will be able to think from a place of such clarity because I learned that each of these moments was like allowing me to hear myself a little more or get to a place that I wanted to be a little more. That each time I hit one of those peaks, I was like, it doesn't matter if you agree or you think it's silly, because look at what I'm getting and look at how I'm growing. And not in a selfish way, just in a like, I can feel that this is right for me and this movement feels good to me. So it doesn't really matter. And then if you don't catch up, that in itself could be enlightening and could be knowledge that I then have to work with. I will say he is also maybe a few years behind me working on his own spiritual growth. So I do think that we are closer to alignment now than we were 2 years ago. But it's a journey. It's a personal journey. And you're not going to always be on the same wavelength all the time. It's going to up and down. And sometimes you'll be connected and sometimes you'll be slightly disconnected. And I think the goal is to make space and, you know, I try not to judge him for judging me, because a year before that, I would have judged him if he came to me and said, I'm going to an astrologer. I'd be like, are you fucking kidding me? Right.
Yeah.
So I tried to be like, I get why he's confused. Right. And he did.
Yeah.
I will say he did say all along, if it makes you better, that's all that really matters. Like it's better for our kids and that's the goal.
Yeah.
Right. Like what, you know, you'll be the best version of you. And that's what ultimately matters. So there was support in that way, but there was a lot of pushback. There still is pushback from like, you know, my parents don't believe in everything that I have sort of veered towards. My husband doesn't still totally get on board with everything. But I mean, I think ultimately, because they care about me, they just want me to feel happy.
And I mean, God, I agree with you said so many gems. Aww. I think that ultimately, like, when someone loves you, mm-hmm. and if something you're doing is helping uplift you,
right,
helping you get more aligned to your truth, yeah. and live a life that is in alignment with that truth, right. then they're going to celebrate that. They right. might not understand it. Right. But they're absolutely going to celebrate it. And I think you just have to believe that about the people that love you, that they love you enough to want that for you. And I have seen in my own life and in the life of my clients and even what Bina is saying, people catch up when they watch you go down this path and start to live life in a way that feels really in line, really from a place of truth and integrity. You know, you're more rooted, you're centered, yeah. you're less reactive,
yeah.
you are trusting yourself, you're articulating really beautiful boundaries, which is actually then making you more compassionate yeah. and more empathetic and open.
And less resentful.
And people witness,
right.
Yeah. right? People witness this, like, it's like a lotus blossom really opening. When they witness this, they are inspired just by watching it happen to then begin their own spiritual or enlightenment or connection or whatever you want to call it, journey of soul care. So I think what you're saying about not judging, Corey, is so critical, because it's not about I'm ahead of you.
No.
That's not what it is.
And
by the way, healing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Healing and growth is like up the spiral. Right. Then you feel like you came down the spiral and then you're back up. Right. Like there is no ahead of you. So I think that I'm really glad you said the non-judgment piece. But just know that when you're living your life in that way, it is contagious. And people around you just start to change in little tiny ways. They start to get curious. Well, what is that? Well, how did that help her? Well, maybe it can help me. They start to ask you questions. Like,
yeah.
pay attention to their curiosity. Pay attention to where they're a little interested. And keep sharing what you're learning about yourself. Really open-heartedly,
yeah,
like, because that is really inspiring.
Even the astrologer I was seeing, I even brought Corey in on a session with her. I was like, check, this is what I'm working, like, check this out. You can see that it's not, she's just like, oh, Pluto is there was so much more to it that I think if he had not experienced it, he would have never understood. I'm not saying everyone needs to include their partners. You need to make it what you want to make it. But it was more of a like, he didn't see the full picture, and then he saw the full picture a little bit more. Also, I would like to say that if your partner does not grow and does not meet you and does not appreciate you blossoming and blooming, that in itself is very telling.
That is information.
Information.
Truly.
You can do with it what you want, but I believe that the more awakened you are, if you are then dealing with someone who is still pushing back and fighting you, eventually you will be like, wait a second. I'm telling you that I'm doing well and great and beautiful and blooming and growing. Why are you angry? I think
even if they're not fighting you,
just not
if on
you.
This like journey, even if they're supporting you,
you
achieve a new level of awareness.
Yes, which I have.
And in that awareness, you have a different set of values,
truth,
a different set of needs,
right?
That no longer matches the partner that you picked at a different, at a, I'm not going to say lower or higher, at a different frequency,
right.
like all of a sudden it doesn't match up anymore.
Right.
We do outgrow our partners.
Yeah.
That does happen.
That's fair.
And actually, I believe a soulmate's actual job is to facilitate your soul's growth, even if that means growing out of the relationship. That's what a soulmate does. It's about expansion to your highest. And sometimes when you're expanding, then you have expanded out of that union and they have done the exact thing they were supposed to do. They handed you the gift they were supposed to hand you.
Right.
And it is time to move on. Like there is nobody worth staying contracted for. There is no union that merits staying contracted. Your expansion is the entire point of your existence.
So go expand. Blossom,
expand everyone. Away. Oh, that was fun, Bean. I appreciate so much the conversation with you and also the questions. Like that, those were really great questions. Guys, thank you for asking them. We will link to the show notes for you to continue to ask them. And
Yeah, I think until next week, unless we have anything else to say,
no,
Bean.
No, I think we covered a lot of ground here.
Amazing. Well, we love you all, and we wish you a continued, really bright, joyous, fun summer. And we'll see you next week with another episode. Until then, have a good week. Bye. Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Grushka. Special thanks to our sound editors, Armand Kassam and Anushree Thekadeth. Make sure to join us next week for another episode.